In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Dan Menigan. Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post national baseball columnist is going to join us momentarily. As the Guardians struggling right now, it's not been the great big warm group hug that we've had all season long as of late. They've lost three straight games. They've lost four of their last five. They've lost seven of their last nine games. And they're not scoring a whole lot of runs with the trade deadline coming up. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post joins us right now. Chelsea, great to have you with us again.
All right, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me.
Here we go. Trade deadline coming up. Before we get to that, if you're a Cleveland Guardians fan and you've lost three straight, you've lost four or five, you've lost seven or nine, and you're not scoring a ton of runs and your rotation's not good, what should you be thinking right now?
Everything's going great in Cleveland, Chelsea.
I think you should be thinking you're lucky you're in the division you are. And I also think that, you know, you have a front office there that kind of has a history of at least kind of putting things together a little bit, I think. You know, I think they're going to be smart at the deadline. I think they're always pretty smart. But I would worry about that offense. I think obviously we've all talked about and seen and written about, in my case, the things they've done to seemingly overperform. And, you know, I think in a lot of cases you believe that some of those changes will last, but you're always worried they won't. So I think it's fair to worry that this is more than just a little slump, but it's also possible that's all it is. And, you know, that they kind of recover quickly.
Chelsea, do you think this is just a regression to the mean, or is it kind of the little slump that we're in the middle of right now? And, you know, maybe Josh Naylor will take off and start hitting again, and maybe someone else will step into where David Fry was hitting before the season started, because clearly he looks like he's crashed back to earth after his All-Star breakout.
Yeah, I don't know. I think one of the things that always makes your offense look worse, and I know the numbers suggest that they have been bad lately, but is pitching that you don't trust. I think that people try a lot harder when they don't trust their rotation, and I think, you know, obviously the Guardians rotation has just been, you know, kind of a struggle, kind of been patched together. And I think if they can solidify that in whatever way, whether that's a big name starter, whether that's, you know, relievers that can go a couple innings, whatever it is, if they can solidify the pitching, maybe that alleviates a little pressure on the offense. There's a lot of guys in that offense that are still young that, you know, will kind of succumb to that urge to press. So maybe it's that simple, but, you know, I think there's reason to believe both that they have regressed to the mean, but also that they might be able to adjust. They've been really smart so far, and they've got time.
Chelsea Janes joining us from the Washington Post. You can follow her on Twitter at Chelsea, Chelsea _ Janes, Janes. You mentioned pitching. I any pitcher that becomes available, I would think you're going to have to overpay for them. And I would think that includes James Paxton, who was just DFA'd by the Dodgers yesterday, Chelsea. If you're looking for a starting pitcher in this market, what are you going to have to do? What are you going to have to give up to get him? Because there seems to be plenty of competition for arms right now.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to bid. I think you're going to have to get into a bidding war. You know, the only deal we have to sort of draw from is the Nats trading, you know, set up man Hunter Harvey to the Royals. And they got a king's ransom, frankly. I think they got a high draft pick and, you know, the Royals' second overall prospect. So that's for a reliever with one extra year of control. But that's a big price. So, do you kind of double that for a good starter? What are you looking at? I don't know. But, you know, I think the price is going to be really high. At the same time, I also think that people are going to be looking to get creative. I think there might be ways in which, you know, the Guardians can add stability without adding, you know, the biggest name out there. You know, is Yusei Kikuchi somebody that they're going to win a bidding war for? I don't know. But, you know, is Fetty someone that they could go after and make a pitch for? Probably. I don't know. I think it's going to be really tough, but there are sort of a lot of teams that are going to have a lot of, you know, options that might not be buying, but might want to try to sell a little bit. And, you know, I think there's going to be options, and it's going to come down to the wire on, you know, figuring out asking prices and figuring out how much everyone's willing to pay.
You brought up Eric Fetty of the White Sox. Is the faux pas, I guess, that you can't really make trades inside of your division, has that been pushed to the wayside throughout baseball, and especially now because, let's face it, the Yankees and the Red Sox made a trade in the offseason. So if those two can figure out how to go and work together, I guess there's harmony for all of us out there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be kind of silly not to trade with the White Sox. You know, whatever you give them is not going to turn them into the team that beats you in 2025. I mean, I think, right? Like, save that clip for when they're winning the World Series. But I just don't think you have to worry about that. So, you know, and somebody like Fetty is at such a good price too that, you know, maybe he becomes out of reach simply because he's so cost effective. But, you know, I think that if you're the Guardians that you've got to look everywhere because I think the Royals will be looking everywhere. And I think you've got to kind of be willing to explore all options in this market because I think the variety of options and the number of teams that might be kind of pried into making a deal is bigger than we're used to.
Chelsea Janes joining us from the Washington Post, national baseball reporter. Do the Guardians have to do a little self-evaluation here, Chelsea? And I say that in regards to this. As you mentioned, the division is extremely winnable. They're in first place. They've played really good baseball almost all season long. Their lead's only four games, and there are two games right there. Do they have to look at their roster and think, okay, even if we get in, are we capable of big things that are worthy of us giving up top prospects for to try and punch it up? Or despite the fact where we are in the division and the standings and everything else, maybe this isn't the year to make that investment? Do they need to do that, or should they just go ahead and make the investment this year and trade for some extra pieces?
You know, I think they have to be very careful. I think that good young lineup that they have, even if they've regressed a little bit, is so promising for the future. They really seem to enjoy playing together and have a good sense of each other. So this isn't the only shot you're going to have at winning the AL Central. And I think, like you said, it's probably not your best shot to win in October, given the state of this pitching staff and the way how good their pitching staffs have been in years past. Like, you know, they can build that, and it just, you know, everything has kind of gone wrong this year. You know, that being said, like, all you need to do is get there. I know that's, you know, something they've heard before and they haven't, you know, advanced past the DS or whatever, but, you know, I think there's a world in which you kind of have to shore things up enough that you give yourself a chance. I mean, they've played so well, it would be silly not to do something. So I would expect like an aggressively conservative approach, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think you're going to see them go for the big, big names, but I don't think they have to give themselves kind of a better chance without mortgaging the future. They're right in that realm of teams that can do that. And I just think they're smart enough to do it. I think they really kind of get themselves and are going to be able to figure out a way to, you know, as people say, thread that needle.
Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do you think Major League Baseball is happy with the trade deadline? With the, you know, it seems far less sellers because more teams think they have a playoff shot.
You know, I don't know. I think they have to be happy with the fact that more teams have a playoff shot, period. I don't know if they care about what that does to the deadline. I think they care a lot about what it does to attendance the last few weeks of the season. I have seen people argue that, you know, if your team is, you know, fighting for a wild card spot, it's, you know, diluted or whatever, that third wild card spot. But the fact of the matter is fans are going to care whatever playoff spot people are fighting for in that last week or whatever. So I think they want as many cities involved as long as possible. And I think they've done that. So I don't know if they care too much about the trade deadline. Maybe we'll see that change. You know, maybe they'll try to kind of create more action somehow. But I think they've got to be happy with just the way this engages more of the league, more fans for a longer period of the summer. And it's just hard for me to envision them making a change with the deadline that would compromise that.
Chelsea, this organization has been so good with starting pitching in the past and pitching in general, bullpen as well. But I found it interesting last year when they traded Aaron Civale for Kyle Manzardo, and Kyle's not made an impact here yet. And Civale was not great in Tampa and is now in Milwaukee. And I also found it interesting when they DFA'd Cal Quantrill last year, mm-hmm. after a rough go for Cal here in 1 year after pitching well in the past. And he's gone to Colorado and done really well. Are those misses by this organization? Were they decisions that just didn't work out? Because I do find it interesting that they bailed on a couple of their young pitchers, starters, who had had some success.
Yeah, Quantrill is surprising. I understand there was a bit of a price tag there. You know, generally speaking, they're one of those organizations where you kind of trust their evaluation of pitchers, you know, like, if you're trading with the Guardians and they're giving you a pitcher, they probably think they can't help that pitcher anymore, sort of like the Rays. But the Quantrill one was kind of fascinating to me, and remains so. I don't necessarily think it signaled any kind of big shift, but it does feel certainly like they'd be better with him this year than without. So it's just a little bit perplexing, but it'll be interesting to see where they go from here, because like you said, and you know, everyone knows they have such a good reputation for starting pitching, but the cupboard right now, at least at the big league level, is a little bit bare. And, you know, Bieber obviously doesn't factor this year, but, you know, you have to prepare to lose him too long-term. So they're going to have to restock. And I think you're going to get a sense of just how good they are at evaluating pitching in this moment, both at the deadline and over the next few months. You know, was Quantrill a blip or was it a signal of things to come? You know, I think we'll have a better sense of that then.
Chelsea, Cal's on a Colorado team that's not very good. Is he going to be moved from there? And if you're the Guardians, would you even think about it?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think they're going to get called on him for sure. If you can pitch in Colorado, I mean, sign him up anywhere else.
Exactly.
I think is kind of the approach. But, I mean, if the Guardians, you know, I why not, right? Like, if the price tag's too high, I mean, I guess that's part of it. What was it, like $8 million? It's not a lot. But it was obviously too much at some point. So, yeah, I mean, again, if you have to get creative, maybe that's the call you make. But I also don't think they'll be alone in that. And in a bidding war, I'm not sure how much they're willing to do because, like we said, you know, they've got a few other cracks at this and probably better cracks at this than they have this year. So it might not make sense to, you know, go after someone that's going to cost you any more than you're comfortable with.
Chelsea James of the Washington Post joining us. All right, Chelsea, I'm going to go big picture on you. Do you think the Tigers trade Tarek Skrubel? Because I don't understand why they would even want to.
Yes. The only compelling argument I've seen for trading him is that you think he's going to get hurt before you can get something for him. You know, he had TJ, I think, in 17, and then he had the flexor tendon thing in 22, maybe. And, you know, that is a problem. I mean, that's, we all know, you know, those things shorten your life as a pitcher. So if you think he's going to get hurt before you can get something from him, then I think you trade him. And if you think the Baltimore Orioles or Los Angeles Dodgers teams, who are really good at evaluating prospects and have a lot of talent in their systems, are desperate, then I think you think about trading them. And I think the latter is certainly true, and the former might be true. So, you know, I think they have to listen to what the Orioles are willing to give them. I mean, that organization has just proven that if they have a top position playing prospect, that guy's going to hit, and the Tigers need that. So you think about it, but they're going to have to ask for a lot, and, you know, I think they should. So if they trade him, they think they've gotten, you know, the haul of a lifetime, I would say. But I just think the right teams are desperate right now that they might actually get that.
Chelsea, which way is this going to go? If you're a team looking for starting pitching, would you be better off making a move now? Or do you think the price tag is going to do nothing but go up as the trade deadline approaches next week? Or would you flip it and think if you're going to make a move now, you might be overpaying more than a team who wants to dump a guy before the deadline and they don't get the offers they want?
It's a great question. I do think that on the bigger guys and the bigger packages, people are going to be more eager to wait, you know, for the obvious reason that you want to make sure you know where the market is. But I also think, and we've seen this in free agency with starting pitching, I think that, like, sometimes jumping the market is the safest thing to do. You know, I think it's something that, like, Alex Anthopoulos would do with the Braves. I don't know if they see themselves as needing starting pitching, but that's a guy who regularly just kind of gets out there and says, I'm going to go get what I need, and I don't care what you guys are doing. And that seems to have worked well for him. So I think there's an argument to be made that if you think Derek Rochet is your guy, you go get him now, and you just let everybody else figure out the rest. But it's tough because the teams that have those elite guys aren't going to want to just hand them over without seeing what they can get for them and using time to their advantage. But, you know, I think whoever jumps first and gets somebody they're happy with is probably going to be glad they're out of the fray next week because the prices just seem like they're going to soar.
I think the other one of the rumors that have blown me away to this point, and of course we're a week out, so, you know, this is as fun as it gets when it comes to just rumor central.
Yeah.
The O's wanting to put Jackson Holliday possibly in one of these trades to get a guy? Like, what are we doing? Like, I know they have their chips in the middle. I know that Gunnar Henderson is awesome, and I know Adley Rutschman is as good as they come, but man, you really think it's right now or bust for your team if you move a guy like Jackson Holliday?
Yeah, I mean, they're in an interesting spot. I first of all, I'm not positive I believe they'll do that. I mean, just optics-wise, like, they gave out T-shirts at that kid's debut, and that was a few months ago. Like, he is the future. You know, they gave him Cal Senior's number. Like, you know, I think they really believe in him. But it's time for them. I think it's time for them to make the big move because, you know, we look at this window they have. You're 2 years into Rutschman. You know, you're a year and a half into Gunnar Henderson. You know, it's time to turn really good prospects who are performing at the big league level into playoff wins. And I think they're going to have to make the calls that they've put off with prospects and some of their older players in the next week or so and say, here's what we think we have. I don't think you necessarily look at the free agent market and see a lot of starters there that you love. You know, I saw Ken Rosenthal say that, you know, Corbin Burns is probably gone. I think that makes sense. I just don't see them giving him the kind of deal he'll want. So you're going to need an ace next year too. And I think you got a good chance to win. The kids are all healthy. You know, I think it's probably time these next 2 years to really hit the gas. And if that means giving up Jackson Holliday or someone like him, I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be stunned because I think the urgency has arrived for them, and probably rightfully so.
Last thing, Chelsea. Travis Bezzana, number one pick for the Guardians. They won the lottery. Congratulations. You get a guy. He signed under slot for under $9 million. The second and third picks, Chase Burns, Charlie Condon, each set a record for the biggest signing bonus at over $10 million. Please tell me that money was not the reason that Bezzana went number one.
Man, I don't think so. He just seems to fit them so well. I will say that, you know, even if it was, I don't know for sure, but even if it was, the difference in terms of, like, him versus the others is not so great that it feels like they've given something up, at least from everyone I've talked to. You know, you could pick any of those guys and be happy that were available there. It wasn't the strongest draft. You didn't have the Strasburger Harper to make it a no-brainer, you know. And I think he just fits them so well, too. You know, he's just their kind of hitter, their kind of guy. Like, you know, I mean, if it was money, I think you can still justify it. But I don't know. It doesn't, you know, I don't think so, but maybe, you know, they do kind of penny pinch to that level, but, you know, I don't think they're going to regret that pick if it was.
Great to have you with us again. Chelsea, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me.
Chelsea Janes, Washington Post, again, at Chelsea Janes, C-H-E-L-S-E-A underscore Janes, J-A-N-E-S, national baseball reporter for the Washington Post.
Great writer.
A great writer, great thoughts. I want to follow them up. Guardians at the trade deadline next on Baskin and Phelps.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
International finance or government, and then a master's from Stanford in communications. She knows her stuff. And she's perplexed at the Guardians giving up on Cal Quantrill. I feel vindicated.
And she just had a conversation with a guy who was politely asked to leave Ohio University because he couldn't stop having fun.
That was you.
I done talked to smart people too.
I was going to say I love it when we have smart people as our guests, and it doesn't take much to be smarter than us. So that works out beautifully.
So.
And she said, if the Guardians, Quantrill, Rockies move, why not?
Yeah. I mean, look, he is an arm. He will eat innings. Like, he kind of fits exactly what they want to do. I don't think you're going to have to give up a ton. It's not a sexy move, but I think it does improve the ball club. I don't think it's a bad way to go. She brought up Kikuchi. I would not make a move for Kikuchi. I think he's cooked, sadly.
Toronto Blue Jays starter.
I loved watching him pitch when he was with the Seattle Mariners. I just think it's too many years away from that one. I wonder what this deadline looks like. There's so many teams now who are in the mix of this stuff and so few sellers that it kind of, you know, almost cannibalizes the deadline because there's too many teams who think they're in the middle of it. But, yeah. I don't know. If you're the Guards right now, what do you do? What do you do, Jeff?
Well, I asked Chelsea this, and this is what I wonder. And I don't want to downplay what this team has done this year. I think this team is. We were so looking forward to this season, Dan. I know you and I had talked about that numerous times, and man, it's been even more fun than I expected it to be. But I look at this team, and I see like three guys who I like with a bat in their hands. I don't see more. Jose, Josh, Stephen Kwan. I'm intrigued by Jean-Kenzie Noel. I was intrigued by Jonathan Rodriguez. Why? Because I like outfielders who can hit the ball really hard.
I like Bo Naylor.
I think Bo is a young guy who's on his way.
I'm still a Bo Naylor believer. I'm still a Brian Rocchio believer. I know, send me
he's
all
got,
your hate.
He's got a glove. I'm not even concerned about his bat, but it's not been very good. And I look at that. Then I look at the starting rotation. Realistically, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, right now, if you're thinking of a playoff series, I think you have a starter and a half. I think you have Tanner Bibee. And I think you throw Ben Lively out there and think, Ben, you've been doing it all year. Do it again, please. And I keep my fingers crossed. And other than that, there's not a starter on this staff that I feel comfortable throwing out there in a playoff game, at least right now. Gavin Williams might get there. Maybe Logan Allen comes back here and he gets there. I mean, last night, Carlos didn't get out of the sixth, and he gave up six runs. Okay,
right.
That's not going to win a playoff game for you.
No, not at all.
It's just not going to do it. And I wonder this in a big picture, despite the fact that they're in first place, and despite the fact that they're in the AL Central, is this team worth trading top prospects for to bring in reinforcements for this team this year? And I can't sit here and tell you it's yes, despite the fact that the division is sitting here waiting to be won. I mean, you know, like Ralph Velasquez, who was their first-round pick last year. Big 6'3", power-hitting first baseman outfielder. They're turning him into an outfielder, too. Drafted him as a catcher. Well, I don't want to give him up. I want to see him develop here. If this team was like the Orioles, that is loaded with talent and has more talent coming up, I would think, okay, I can give that guy up. But we're not like the Orioles. And I love the process, blah, blah, blah. I love looking to the future. I love watching prospects come up. I just don't think this team right now, with three guys I like with a bat in their hands, maybe four if you're really going to push it, and with a starter and a half, is worth a huge investment of prospects. I would rather wait a year and give it another shot.
The only reason that I think you should maybe make that move, if you think you can, is if you think this is just a blip and you think what this offense is in the middle of since June 1 is like, okay, it's a little bit of regression, but hey, somebody's going to take over and we'll get cooking again and Gavin Williams is going to turn this around and we'll get one of the Logan Allen, Tristan McKenzie, Joey Cantillo group to come up and help and supplement this team. And you look at the landscape of the AL and you go, Seattle can't hit, but they can pitch. The Astros have been kind of up and down. They seem to be getting it together a little bit more, but they've been a disappointment all season. The Yankees are two good starters, maybe three good starters, and two great position players and a whole lot of just okay. You know, they are going to make a move. They're going to try to find something. And the Orioles are really good, and they probably need another starter. But they can hit and they can pitch. And so when you get done playing that game, you realize there's one team truly standing in front of the Cleveland Guardians. If they play the way that they did in April and May, and if you think that's not a blip, but that is the way that this team plays, if you think that is the case, then you make the move. Because you go, there's one team standing in front of me and the World Series.
I'm not going to trade prospects for guys who could only be here at the end of this year. I've got to get somebody under control. We've talked about Brent Rooker, who's the 29-year-old outfielder for the Oakland A's, who's bounced around a little bit and has really found himself in Oakland with some really good power numbers. Not considered a good outfielder. But
he should be a DH.
Well, okay, fine. Fine.
Great.
Yeah, that's terrific. Don't mind that at all, Dan. And then, because who's my DH right now?
Needs a day off?
David Fry.
Yeah.
All right, David Fry is my best DH right now, and David's batting average has dropped 70 points since his season high.
Do you buy the Brent Rooker 286 batting average? That's my question with him. Is all of a sudden the guy has learned how to hit for average on top of the fact that he's hitting for power, and those are usually the guys you look at and go, okay.
But guys can get better, and if I don't have to, you know, the thing I like about him a lot, I have him under control for I think it's 3 years after this. And he's 29. He's only making $750,000. You could probably sign him for a pretty reasonable contract, and he'd probably be pretty happy. And then if it doesn't work, you trade him next year. You know, I mean, because then you're trading a guy who, if you don't have under contract, is arbitration eligible, so somebody else can have him. I just think there are some smart moves that they can make that won't cost them a lot, which will help the team. And maybe help the team down the road. I wonder, because if you're just going by what they're doing at AAA, there does not seem to be an abundance of hitting talent ready to come up and help. George Valera, their top outfield prospect of a year or two ago, hitting a little better right now, but has not been what they expected him to be when it seemed like he was close. Kyle Manzardo, probably not ready to come in and be majorly impactful. So I think it's a big decision that Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff have to make in the next week. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. hitting a little better right now, but has not been what they expected him to be when it seemed like he was close. Kyle Manzardo, probably not ready to come in and be majorly impactful. So I think it's a big decision that Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff have to make in the next week. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.